Reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? We've heard God's word, God's gift to us this day. May we find in it the words we need to help us on our way. Amen. I love this week. I love the opportunity that we as ministers in Penarth have to come around different churches and to meet with fellow Christians and to share God's word with one another. But thank you for the opportunity of coming to be here this morning. I bring greetings from the elders and members of Elvid Avenue. It's often said that belief shapes practice. If you want to know what you truly believe, you only need to examine your behaviours. What this phrase is getting at is that we all have a set of assumed beliefs, what we think we believe. And then we have our real beliefs, which are revealed in our behaviour. A person can say, I believe in truth. It's a core commitment to my life. But in a difficult circumstance, that person may be led to lie to gain an advantage over somebody or something. Their real belief or core value is therefore not truth. It's something completely different. Churches today are very good at making doctrinal statements. Views on social justice, poverty, and even what it means to be truly spiritual, whatever that is. Our challenge, however, is to align our practices, the behaviours of our workday lives, with our stated beliefs. It seems that this was a problem for the people of Jesus' time, and he felt the need to articulate it in Matthew's story this morning. That reading that we had from Matthew's Gospel is divided into two parts. The first section addresses a problem with a specific group. The second part serves as the conclusion to the first great teaching block in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. In the first section is a great example of the difference that can exist between someone saying one thing but really meaning and acting on something quite different. Jesus offers a provocative statement that sharpens the discussion regarding to who truly is a disciple. Not everyone who says or affirms that Jesus is the risen Lord and will enter the kingdom of heaven on that future day. It's only those that actually do the will of God who will be permitted entry. This sounds very similar to those words we find in the Epistle of James. In other words, faith without works is dead. For Jesus, it is the manner in which the life is lived out that demonstrates whether or not somebody truly is a disciple of Christ. Words, apparently, don't matter that much. Even though one verbally affirms his lordship and does remarkable deeds, people will never spend eternity with God if they were not living out life as a disciple, as articulated to us by Jesus. At the great judgment, Jesus will not recognize them as his own, we're told here. This is a powerful message, and it gets to the heart of Jesus' message to us. To be a follower of Jesus means that behaviors and actions, the manner in which we live out our daily lives, the way in which we show our faith in God, should be absolutely paramount in our lives. More to the point, mere words, performances of deeds, even miraculous ones done in the name of Jesus, or those little random acts of mercy and love, will not affect one's eternal destiny. Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount with the story of two people and the houses that they've chosen to build. This parable teaching of Jesus is one of my favourites to use at a baptismal service. Now, when I arrived this morning, Claire asked me if I had a children's address, and I didn't, because the letter said, just come and preach the word. But in Elvid Avenue at a baptism, I used this story as an illustration for a family who were not church people. And I got up at the front, all the children, with some Lego bricks, and we built a house of Lego. And then we got some sand, and we built a sandcastle. And then, to their horror, I got out a watering can. And we proved what happened when the rains came and the floods came up and the church was covered in mud. Now, I didn't think that you would appreciate this minister from Elvid Avenue coming and covering your church in mud this morning. But I'm sure that you can see what a mess we made. But actually, that it proves a point. The waters came, the Lego houses stood firm, and our sandcastles created chaos and mess. The metaphor of the building to describe a life is a powerful one. One person hears Jesus' words and acts on them, putting them into practice. The others hear Jesus' words and don't act on them. Two people, two completely different responses to Jesus' message. The first is like the person who built the house on the rock. Its foundation is strong and secure and can withstand any assault. The second is like the house built on the sand. Its foundation is weak and unstable and will eventually be destroyed by any storm. Sometimes Jesus' parables seem just a little bit too obvious for us. We think straight away, of course, Jesus meant that. And we just need to have firm foundations in our faith and to believe and to live in Christ as Master, Savior, Lord, Messiah, whatever we like to call him, and everything will be okay. Just as the disciples needed to know a way of direction, so do we. Before we have that direction, we need those foundations, something to root our faith and trust in. Something that gets us through the good days and those not so good days. Roots and foundations are crucial to all of us in our Christian journey as we strive to be the people God calls us to be. We need firm foundations handed down from generation to generation, as we're told in Deuteronomy. If we're able to serve our Lord and do what's demanded of us, we must tell future generations. Matthew's gospel takes us on a journey of the life and work of Jesus Christ, but also a journey of great discovery, a journey that shows us paths and truths and ways in which we could and should engage with God through the work of his Son. This parable comes at the close of the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That great address to the gathered crowd, a mix of storytelling and educating people for a new way of living. A section of Matthew's story that points us in the right direction, yet warns us of judgment as well as God's love. For those who hear words cannot fail to act upon them. Tom Wright, in his commentary on this passage, argues that this is a crucial point of the passage. He writes, Jesus insists in the great warning which closes the Sermon on the Mount that his hearers will be judged, not even on their direct response to God, but on whether they let their ears enjoy the sounds of the words, but then leave them as a memory without doing anything about them. Doing what Jesus says or not doing it. This makes the difference between a house that stays firm, standing in a storm, and a house that falls with a great crash. The final story summarizes the entire Sermon on the Mount. The message is very clear. Discipleship occurs in the everyday practices of Jesus' followers. Jesus is not suggesting a new law replacing old. Rather, love for and the devotion to God must be accompanied by a life that honors God. Or to put it another way, becoming a follower of Jesus is to decide to become a member of his society and is marked by a willingness to live out one's life according to the values and beliefs of that society. One becomes part of the people of God. Jesus' invitation is for us to encounter God and to live a different way of living. This life will provide not only strength for the present to withstand the various storms that come our way, but also that final great storm when the Lord comes and takes to himself those who have lived life worthy of entering his kingdom. It's not enough just to hear words or to say words, Lord, Lord, for action must always follow. If we are to let the words of Jesus be strong foundations of faith, they need to penetrate so deeply into us that we cannot fail but act upon them. To hear them and let them wash over us is responding like the man who built his house on the sand. The temple of Jerusalem was built on rock, built to the glory of God and to humanity, to stand sure and firm as a symbol. But it was a symbol. Just a symbol. A corrupt and dishonest leadership who were not at one with the people, who were not really listening to God and acting out in their lives love for one another and love for their Creator. And yet, did Jesus not warn them that the temple would be destroyed? Built on rock or sand, God's judgment would come and destroy all that was not good and not firm, regardless of its foundations. Matthew's message is a simple one. If we build our lives on Jesus' teaching, we will be part of that wonderful house that lasts forever. But we have to question, what sort of houses are we building as individuals and as churches together? Are we doing Jesus' words, or are we only reading them or calling out, Lord, Lord? Hearing them, saying them, thinking how fine they are, but not letting them really enter into our hearts and minds and finding ways of acting upon them. That's, I believe, one of the challenges for us this week in the week of prayer for Christian unity. We hear God's calling, praying that we will all be one. Yet we live with the fact that we are indeed a broken church in lots of ways. Sometimes at war with one another, but thankfully, often we're found working for peace together, sharing God's love through things like Pharaoh's Kitchen, the food bank, which all the churches in Penarth are very pleased to support. Often just muddling along side by side, recognizing that we really are truly one in body and spirit, if not always in theological interpretation and practice. Taken within the context of the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his followers on subjects ranging from attitudes towards money to judgment of one's neighbor, to explaining of how people will be judged. It is compelling teaching of the values and the conduct of the kingdom of God. When we think about foundations, we have in place for our daily lives, I think, hope. First and foremost, hope in God. It's our understanding of God, our faith and hope and trust in a living God that shapes us into being who we are. These things are our foundations. Things we understand of God, those things we allow to persuade our thoughts and our decision making, our living, often our dying. For it is these foundations that shape our very attitude to life itself. I'm going to invite you to just pause for one moment. And in the silence, I just want you to consider someone who you admire. Someone who has shaped your idea of what it is to be a good and faithful follower of Christ. What makes them a good person? What might you learn from what you have learnt from them? A few minutes. What we realize, I hope, is that being in relationship with others is what keeps our faith solid, built on a rock of love and care. That the example of others, them telling you stories when you were little, sharing of good news as you got older, are the foundations of your faith. Exchanging pulpits this weekend gives us an opportunity to share our thoughts, our styles. Yes, you've got no PowerPoint this morning. I don't do PowerPoint. But it's an opportunity for us all to come together however we do it and to share God's word and to just learn to love one another and be with one another. Recognizing those who are or have been foundational to our faith is really important to us, and it's good for us to stop every so often. Think about those people, who they are, why they come onto this list, and to give thanks to God for them. We need to question ourselves all the time. Are we as individuals, as Tabernacle, as teen churches worshipping and working together, are we becoming part of the foundation of faith for the generations to come? Of course, we need to be firm and sure in who we are and what it is we believe. And there's that wonderful old hymn, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?" In the chorus we sing, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." As Christ is our anchor, the rock which cannot move, so we are called to be anchors and rock in the lives of those whom we together are called to serve. At the very root of our understanding of God, the foundation of our relationship with him is built on our ability to place God before our own deepest desires and yearnings, to know and to truly believe that God, the rock on which we all stand, can take us and remake us, remodel us and use us for his glory and keep us from sinking in the sand when the rain comes. When the rains fall in our lives, we need to know that there is one in whom we can trust, one in whom we can rest, one whom is solid and firm and can free us from all that is past to live and to shine as bright lights. So may God bless you in all your ministry, as a church community and as individuals. And may you all continue to shine as bright lights to the glory of God. Amen.